folks. Get Out the Room is back. Get Out the Room episode 75. I think it's 75. Yeah, it's 75. Get Out Your Room, your horror podcast with a little bit of pop culture and sometimes comic books because that's the type of shit that we like. Get Out the Room. I'm your host, Day. As always, I got my people with me. What's going on, Scott? How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. I, you know, 75, I think we said the first show of the year we were going to try to hit 100 this year. I don't know that even at this pace we'll do that, but we're going to get close.
Yeah, at this pace we're going to get close. But we're definitely not going to hit 100.
No.
If we hit 85, I would be pretty pleased at this point. But, you know, we'll make it work. And Grace American Hero, Tone, what's going on, bro?
Believe it or not, baby.
Yes, yes, yes. Get Out the Room. You can find us with the home team at the Wicked Radio Network. You can find us at Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, Listenopoly, your home base for POC content on the web, and basically anywhere good podcasts are found. So, check it out. We're going to switch it up on y'all and start with the big shit, the brand new big shit. The shit that everybody's been talking about. The shit that we've been waiting for 3 years to see.
Well, wait a minute, Damon. I know you ain't acting brand new right now, though. But what's in your cup? We got to cover the first. Make the first thing first, my brother.
My God.
I mean, we're going to get to that. Okay. I mean, it is.
All right, hold on. If we're doing that, I'm gonna pour while you guys are talking.
There you go.
You just made me want to drink.
There you go. Okay.
Don't blame your alcoholism on me. Own your shit.
It's okay.
It's easier to blame.
I'm actually drinking an Arnold Palmer strawberry half and half iced tea lemonade.
Whoa.
With vodka. Okay.
And I thought you were
there
a man.
We go. Okay. I was very offended and ashamed.
Yes. I just thought that last part. So you, sir, what are you drinking?
In honor of Brother William's return, I am drinking Colt 45.
Well, you are lying to me.
I am not lying to you. I bought it specifically for this purpose, and it's terrible. I am so upset with myself.
Malt liquor is terrible, dude.
But I got my Wild Turkey 101 on the standby, so like it's going to be all right. Wow. It's going to be all right.
Yeah, you're going to be cross-eyed tomorrow. Are you fucking kidding? Jesus. I'm not going to remember your name. You might remember your mama's name.
Maybe.
Well, I'm pouring up some Maker's Mark on the rocks.
Oh.
I wish I had pearls so I could clutch them.
For real? I don't think I've ever heard of you drinking the brown.
Oh, always. This is the brown of choice.
Ooh, that's true. Well, we went to the crib, and we made quick makers and ginger before your man Dre came over. Shout out to Scott. He made it back from his bachelor party. So
I did.
You just started drinking. How are you already not shit? Like, what's going on?
Look, it's going down. Look, man. Yo, shout out to everyone who went to AU. We going fast talking brandy. So, not everyone's going to get it, but the folks that do, that's just going to be incredible. Shout out to my man, Fife Dog, RIP.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
Yo, still one of the most influential MCs of all time. Always will be.
I will gladly pour out some of this nasty Colt 45 for him.
And I'm going to pour this strawberry Arnold Palmer into my mouth. Shit. I actually got some Dr. Pepper in the bag. I just carried it around with me now.
You just carried it around with you.
Yeah. Shout out to Dr. Pepper. Traveling drink. Wow. It's a traveling drink.
Wow.
That was supposed to be a different song, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not really sure where I was going with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it landed. I think you did well.
Ooh. Hey, now. All right. Don't let me get to singing. Singing. You just going to say something, Scott? Mm? Yep.
I was just going to say, with where this show sounds like it's headed, talking what we're about to talk could get ugly.
Yes, it is.
Couldn't it?
Yes, it fucking
could. Adorable how you still try to act brand new like we don't know you, Negro. It's going to get ugly.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad look. It's a bad appetite. You know. What's that, that shit my son be singing? Bad blood? He don't know none of the words. He be like, show me bad blood.
Oh. I need that video in my life, so you make that happen, sir.
Yo, my 5-year-old is in a Kidz Bop now. This motherfucker be playing Kidz Bop loud as fuck on his headphones with my wife's phone. He puts his headphones on my wife's phone and just be rocking out the Kidz Bop in the crib.
Oh my god. Yeah, you know. Boo is a nanny, so I'm well aware of that Kidz Bop. I'd be wanting to rip the blame stereo out the car and throw it out the window.
You ain't never lied. I have to cleanse this palate with some Sky Zoo afterwards. This is some incredibly difficult lyrics. Who would have better that we don't attack Cheddar forever? Live treacherous till it gets to us. Right. Feel better now. But yeah,
oh boy.
Man. Yes. So let's get into it. So, hey, Scott, who's the man who directed this piece of shit?
Good old Zack Snyder, who once upon a time actually... Wait, have we even said the name of the movie we're going to be talking about?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I just said Zack Snyder, so we're obviously talking about the big release of the weekend, Batman versus Superman. Zack Snyder, of course, is the director, and once upon a time he actually was pretty talented. He did the remake to Dawn of the Dead, which is actually pretty fantastic.
Yep.
300 was pretty good. Watchmen was pretty good. And then things kind of derailed a little bit for him.
So if we're going to be real truthful about this shit, it derailed at Watchmen.
Well, but Watchmen was okay, dude. At least okay.
Tone and I talked about this shit yesterday. This motherfucker is a straight adapter.
Right, and let's be real. There were problems with the subject matter of Watchmen, and that's why Watchmen was only okay. But again, Dawn of the Dead, very strong source material there.
Yep.
Watchmen, very strong source material, but again, yes, there were some problems. What was that one in the middle you named? Because I recall there were some... 300, again, very strong source material there. So, okay. You know, if you give the dude something good to work with, you know, that's like dating a girl that can only cook a steak. I mean, yeah, you can make a steak, but can you make a sandwich? You know what I'm saying?
Look, did you guys see Sucker Punch? Because that shit was garbage.
That was the worst comic book movie of all time.
Nope. You know how I feel
about that. And it wasn't a comic movie. It wasn't even a comic. That was original. He can't do that.
Wait. No, you're kidding. I thought that was...
No, Sucker Punch was a Zack Snyder original.
Oh, that makes me feel even worse about that film.
Sucker Punch was whack.
I thought there was a reason I could blame on somebody, but I can't even blame nobody off that shit?
No, that's him. Maybe. And it's the epitome of his issue. You know,
he also made that animated Owl movie, too.
What?
He directed that Guardians of Ga'Hoole... That animated Owl battle movie?
Nope, we're cool, bro.
No, my point is, like, things derailed. This is what I'm saying. If you give, at least give him some credit for Watchmen, he released an Owl battle movie and then Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
And then Man of Steel and then this, what we just watched.
Which begs the question, why did Warner Brothers trust him with this?
I'll tell you exactly why. Because motherfucker makes beautiful shit. It don't make no sense, but it always looks good.
I mean, look, Sucker Punch at least did look okay. I'll give it the it looked okay.
No, it looked good. The gigantic samurai
in the same sentence as Sucker Punch. That shit was
No. The gigantic samurai looked awesome. All the fight scenes look awesome. They just make no fucking sense and have no narrative whatsoever.
That's because it's not about anything but child rape. There's no plot.
Well, it's child rape.
I mean, it's true.
I was about to try and say some shit to defend that, but I can't do that. So,
nope.
Yep. And we gonna circle back to his women issues later too.
Mm.
You know, look, I read another article, or I watched a video review of this, and they started with the same thing I'm about to say. And they were both laughing their asses off that they started with this. But I'm sorry. We're going to tear this shit up. So if you haven't seen it, you know, spoilers, but don't see it. So, Doomsday, gentlemen, I walked out of this movie because of that final fight scene that was in this, comparing it to the 2015 Fantastic Four.
Ooh. And ooh.
That was my
that
first.
Hurt me.
And we were bad about, a lot of people hated Fantastic Four for just going the obvious route at the end and completely fucking up a really cool villain. And that's exactly what this movie did. It built all this stuff up all the way to the end. We finally see Doomsday. Motherfucker's like, what, 50 feet tall?
Yeah, I was like, why is he so fucking big?
Yes, he looks like the cave troll from Lord of the Rings, the first one.
On super steroids, on like tiger dick steroids.
And he doesn't look, he's not Doomsday. I mean, it's just Doomsday in the comics, man. He had one arm strapped behind his back. He whooped the Justice League's ass, and then he killed Superman.
if y'all didn't know, we spoiling shit.
I mean,
but, you know,
That's Doomsday in the comic, dude.
He had
long hair. He had bones sticking out everywhere. I mean, he was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And in this movie, it was just, I mean, that just hurt. It hurt.
You know, I wonder what I can't figure out what the stylistic choice was for not making Doomsday look like Doomsday.
Right.
I mean, towards the end, they did show him, like, after I guess he had been hurt real bad once, they did show the bone growth and whatnot. And
the beard, like, he has a real, like, Doomsday has a pretty iconic look as well, and they fucked that up. And this goes into a lot of different points I have.
I'm not entirely sure that's Doomsday. I'm not entirely sure that's Doomsday.
No, it is. There's no other person in the Marvel Universe that could be.
It could be Connor.
Yeah, see, you brought this up, and man, I mean, that's a pretty big leap, even for a casual
fan, or even
a hardcore fan.
He's 50 feet tall, dog.
No, I get that. What I'm saying is this. I'm just spitballing, but what I'm saying is, like, so Connor Kent is the clone of half Lex Luthor, half Superman, which is what this iteration of Doomsday is.
He's half Zod. He's half Superman.
He's half Kryptonian.
You know, you're right. He's half Kryptonian, half human. But you're right, that's a different... Yeah, you know what, actually, fuck it, never mind. I was trying to be charitable, but fuck it, I'm done.
You're doing trailblazing. Trail ended. It's okay.
Like, abruptly. Like, I fell off a cliff.
This movie just, when I compare it to 2015 Fantastic Four, I was then thinking, well, if I'm comparing it to that, I also want to compare it to the last Batman movie, which was Dark Knight Rises, which is a movie that is filled with problems as well. But that movie's way better than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, did you think in 2016 that you would say this to anybody? Man, hey, last year, Ant-Man was tight. Batman vs. Superman sucked, though.
No.
Look, I've been telling motherfuckers this for the past couple of weeks. You know, this movie should have been Jordan in the 90s.
Yes. Yes.
Plain and simple.
That's it. It should have been. Yep.
Well, I think it just speaks to, you know, the issue we've been talking about from the very beginning, that, like, Warner Brothers, they do not respect the product that they have. This would have been so easy to make awesome. They already have great source material. This
now,
movie
now,
basically.
Of Batman,
outside actually,
of Batman.
What,
Well,
this particular story right here could have been Trinity, that story arc.
It almost was.
Right. So why did you depart from that? What was the purpose?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Especially when you have a director who has a proven track record of doing great movie, great's a little strong, but good movies.
That's a liquor
talk. He's got solid source material.
That Billy Dee talk.
But has no imaginative capabilities in his body. Why would you make him write a flick You know what I mean? Like, Writer Flake is strong because I know he didn't write it, but, like, why would you really? Force him to try to be imaginative?
It doesn't make any sense. You know, Ben Affleck's boy came in and did some rewrites, so, you know, it ain't no secret that Batman shit was much tighter, even though it was fucking... Them dream sequences make no goddamn sense.
Wonder of wonders, who comes off best in the flick? You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to say, but, you know, Batman does come off really well, which everybody loved talking shit to about Ben Affleck. He actually was really great in this movie.
I knew he was going to be great.
And a lot of people did, and they're just staring at everybody now and they're saying, "Hey, I told you he'd be good," and he was. And the look of Batman was great. I mean, he looked great in this.
They got the costume down perfect.
Now, I have to ask the question. I don't remember Batman ever killing motherfuckers.
He doesn't. Not like
this. I mean, he was mowing people down in that Batmobile.
There's a fucking reckless abandon to this Batman and the likes of which we've never seen. This motherfucker is like your crackhead uncle when that shit's coming out.
Michael Keaton Batman killed people in Batman and Batman Returns, but it wasn't as blatant.
That's what I'm saying, wasn't as indiscriminate.
Okay, to be fair, and I'm only being fair, the Thomas Wayne version of Batman does kill people. Now, that's not who we're talking about.
I was going to say, but we're talking Flashpoint now.
I had to give, like, we all know that we, you know, super duper comic book nerds, so I had to throw it out there. But
that's true.
This is not the iteration of Batman that we're dealing with here, one. And also, I think, this is supposedly a sequel to the Superman movie.
This is actually a Superman movie.
Exactly. And Man of Steel had a reckless abandon with casualties.
That shit is the truth. But that's supposed to be the tone of the whole fucking movie.
And a theme.
But VBS is supposed to be the response to his fucking reckless abandon. The entire movie is a response to Superman's reckless abandon when he goes, air quotes, saving motherfuckers.
They answered it with more or worse reckless abandon.
Well, they retconned that by telling you that it was a sparsely populated portion of Gotham City.
That was sparsely populated.
Exactly. How stupid is it? Since when is Gotham so close to Metropolis?
Never. How the fuck are you going to be at the Daily Bugle, look over there, see the fucking bat light in the air, and be like, yo, let me get a chopper over there, cuz. Get the fuck out of here.
It's just a lack of respect for their product.
It is.
This was a money grab. That's all this was. It was a money grab.
You know what? Hey, it made over $400 million this weekend.
But that's worldwide, though.
I mean, still.
And it had one of the steepest drop-offs from Friday to Sunday.
Not the steepest.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How do you fix this? Let's say they want to right the wrong here. How do you do that? Do you just let Zack Snyder handle Justice League?
No, you don't let him handle anything.
No. Okay, so see, now this is... See, Scott, you messed up.
Call John Favreau and see what that motherfucker's doing after the Jungle Book.
For real. So, but this is what we're going to do. Look, man. Whoever's over there at
Christopher Nolan.
If you got some friends that work for Warner Brothers DC, we about to do for them what we did for y'all. So
We got y'all, man.
You absolutely.
So another thing they did right, I liked Wonder Woman in this movie.
I was going to tell you, the person who came out the best and the motherfucker who won the most out of this entire fucking film is Gal Gadot. Yes.
This is what I'll say. Look, I've always felt that the previous Batman movies have a hard time getting someone who can nail Batman and Bruce Wayne at the same time. They typically lean towards Bruce Wayne, which is kind of silly because Batman is the actual character there.
Bruce Wayne is the person who's underneath the...
That being said, I will say, I think Gadot nailed Diana. I really do.
Yeah.
That's not Wonder Woman. Let me make my point.
I know where you're going, and I'm cool. Go ahead.
And I'm going to tell you. So, like, you know, in the comics, Wonder Woman is like 6 feet tall and like 190. Like, she looks like our, I'm not gonna call her name out, never mind. Ooh. She looks like a friend of ours.
God. You almost said some fucking crazy.
I really did. That Colt 45.
That Billy D in the system. You never know what you're
Billy
gonna
D,
get.
That was the Billy D made me do it. But that's what Wonder Woman looks like. That's what she looks like. Now in the comic books, Superman is, you know, somewhere between 6'2" and 6'4" and north of 225. Never in your life will you ever see a studio cast a sub 6 foot, or let's even say maybe a sub 5'10 Superman. Like, yeah. You know me, I'm a short dude. You're not going to see a dude my height play Superman ever. And it doesn't matter how great an actor I am. It's just not going to happen. And that would never happen with Batman either. So I just feel like casting this girl who is, you know, 5'8", 5'9", probably about 113 pounds, you know, basically.
She,
you know,
she got up to 127.
Oh, okay. Oh, still, middle school weight. She's a middle schooler. You would never do that to a male comic book character.
I agree.
Okay, but the question then comes up, and I've thought about this long and hard, because I had the same issue when she was first cast, and who replaces her? I mean, who is out there that is tall, that can act and carry her own movie? Now, I'm not saying even that Gal Gadot can do it, but my point is, how do you rectify that?
There are literally a million actresses in Hollywood right now.
But we're talking about a company. We're talking about a company who just fucked up Batman versus Superman. They don't know any better. They, I mean, what are they going to, what is somebody who doesn't know going to do? I mean,
that's
so they,
why you have the casting decision is that rests right on Zack Snyder. That's why you have a director who's willing to say, you know what, this is important to the story. We need to cast somebody who actually could look like Wonder Woman. And let's not get it twisted. This isn't the male gaze talking. Like, part of Wonder Woman's aesthetic, part of her aesthetic is the wrong word if I'm trying to get away from the male gaze.
Right.
But part of Wonder
Woman,
exactly. But part of Wonder Woman's, you know, essence is the fact that she is intimidating as a woman to grown men.
You're right.
You can't cast a twig in that role. You just can't. Not if you actually give a shit about the character. But in my opinion, especially considering Zack Snyder's women issues, I think he casted somebody he wanted to fuck. He was like, Wonder Woman needs to be hot. This is what looks hot to me.
Hmm. You're not wrong. The argument that Scott's making
is that you want a name if you're a studio. You want a name.
Yep.
Gal Gadot didn't have no damn name. She played a role in the, you know, one of the Fast and Furious movies, and they tried to make her look sexy there, and she didn't look sexy there either, but apparently worked for Zach.
Yep. It was enough.
I mean, in all honesty, do you know who would have been a good Wonder Woman role? Now, I don't know how tall she is, but she's got the body and the acting ability to do it. Hayley Atwell. Now, I know Marvel's got her wrapped up, but she has the look of Wonder Woman.
To be fair, Hayley Atwell is actually too thick.
Too thick?
Yeah.
I mean, she's better than too thin.
No. Here's the thing. Y'all know Hayley Atwell is where I'm at.
Uh-huh.
So you're never going to find me.
She should be where everybody's at, because that girl is fine.
All right.
And she can act.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, I'm pulling up this image right now.
You had to get a Google search on?
Oh.
Agent Carter, dude.
I'm clutching pearls, emeralds, diamonds, peridot, quartz. Like, woo!
You're really silly for that right now.
I will say this, though. She looks a little nice for Diana. Her face, she's a little wholesome.
She's got British sensibilities, cuz. What can I tell you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not mad. Look, man, I take her out to brunch. I'd hold her hand. Like, it's all good. I'm not mad at her. I'm just saying.
Don't play.
Diana's supposed to be, you know, like, mean fine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the kind of girl that, you know, might steal your credit card.
That's really funny. But let me say this. Yeah, so her actual... So she's actually 6 foot 130.
Who is? Gal Gadot?
No. Wonder Woman.
Hayley Atwell. Wonder Woman, okay. Yeah.
Wonder Woman's supposed to be 6 foot 130.
That's unrealistic.
I agree, but that's what Wonder Woman is. I guarantee you there's a 6 foot 130 chick in Hollywood right now.
Absolutely. There's a 6 foot 140, 150 chick right now.
Right. Right. So, who might look good in the screen looks, but whatever. None of that shit matters to me because the fact that Gal Gadot came out very well, Wonder Woman came out very well, but the depressed Superman sucked. The first hour and 30 minutes of this film were incredibly boring, like painstakingly boring.
Well, you didn't see Batman. Like, I kept waiting for everybody is in their seats right there to see fucking Ben Affleck as Batman. They didn't show Batman until well into half the film, and this movie's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, it's the last hour.
Well, to be fair, from a thematic point, that scene where it's Ben Affleck in his suit and tie or whatever running around Metropolis saving people, yo, that's Batman. Like, that's something that you've seen in the comics very often, where touché, it's like it's not the car, it's not the batarangs, it's not the gadgets, it's me. I'm the dude who makes this stuff happen. And I appreciated that. I'm not gonna lie.
Yep.
Listen, outside of the killing people, Batman was phenomenal in this movie. He really was.
Oh, absolutely. I'm team Batfleck.
Well, and that dream sequence where he's fighting flying bats and shooting guys at point blank range with machine guns, and that whole dream sequence was just a mess.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And somebody told me that was supposed to be Flash, who was coming back to warn him.
You know, do you know who I thought that was at first? Because you can't tell at all. I thought it was Cyborg because it was in a computer. I couldn't even tell who that was.
Yeah, no clue.
I had no idea.
Apparently,
who that
Flash.
Was.
It was apparently an armored up Flash.
That's what I've heard, which makes no sense. There's no iteration in comics where Flash wears armor. It's because stupid. He doesn't need armor. He's almost invulnerable. Like,
Since we're talking Justice League, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Flash.
When we
finally saw the Justice League, by the way, in an email of all things. Come on. That means, and I'm stealing this from another show I saw, but it made me think about it. Listen, Lex Luthor was keeping tabs on these guys. He knew who all of them were, and he had met people at his office create logos, like an official web page for each of these characters, so that you could easily click through them and watch who they are, what they were doing, everything. I mean, Flash, convenience store. You don't even see him suited up. That scene's not terrible. It's just kind of like that's the first time we see Flash on the big screen.
Yep.
That is. And then the Aquaman scene, I mean, it's as if he was dancing in a shampoo commercial.
Yes. His hair flowed incredibly well.
I mean, like, really? And then he just stared at the camera. If you're Aquaman, you're just letting them film you for 30 seconds or however long he was on film?
Well, and here's the thing. Like, a lot of people don't realize this, but, like, Aquaman has a long history of being a dick. Like, he's an angry asshole, and he has been for, like, decades. So the fact that you think you're going to get all up in Aquaman's face with a bright light and film him with an underwater drone. Good motherfucking luck.
Right, exactly.
Yep. I mean, I was on board with that picture that, you know, Batman sent Wonder Woman with her, you know, back, you know, thousands of years ago or whatever it was.
It was 100 years. Yeah, it was
100 years, whatever. That was kind of cool. And that was cool. And the Cyborg scene, although I'm not a huge Cyborg fan, was actually better than the other ones, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was.
Because it was like,
scary.
It was more set up. It was. It should scare up.
Terrifying. Up. You see him half of a fucking black man torso and some fucking black antimatter pumping blood. All of a sudden, this motherfucker is jumping into the torso and torso coming alive. That shit was fucking terrifying.
Yeah, well,
I would say this, though. I got to be honest. You know, the other characters, I think, you know, it seems, I think they got it right. I mean, The one thing I appreciate about Aquaman was it was I didn't when they first cast Jason Momoa, I thought he was horribly miscast. I did not want him to be Aquaman because I felt like he has such a menacing presence. I was like, I want him fighting Superman. Like, he's a big, scary looking dude. Like, put him, have him punching somebody. But then they tied it in really well as they showed, like, they showed, you know, the, I'm assuming those were like, you know, Polynesian folks of some sort, like Samoan, Tongan, et cetera.
You are giving too much credit. Credit is not due.
I think I kind of dug that I will say this. I dug the way they took it. This may not have been their intent, but to show that, yo, these are the seafaring peoples that we know. So, of course, it makes sense that the underwater peoples look like these seafaring peoples. I thought that was dope. I really did.
Listen, I will say this. I don't think Aquaman looks bad. That's not my issue with it. My issue was the scene in which they introduced him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
was through clicking an email.
No. Let's be really
dancing in front of the camera.
No, let's talk about this shit. These motherfuckers looked at QuickTime files, and that's how they introduced the Justice League. Get the fuck out of here. Next.
Like anybody uses QuickTime these days, let alone Lex Luthor. Like, he wouldn't
let that
like
shit update. How about
shit.
That? How about that? When iTunes tried to update the QuickTime, I don't let that shit happen.
Neither do I.
Hell.
It takes forever and it always breaks
my computer. I haven't updated QuickTime for years.
Yep.
Yeah, so no, I agree. I think that was terrible. I do think that they got, you know, I watched the Flash show on CW and I enjoy the hell out of it.
They got the tone right in the TV show. I don't know what the fuck happened here.
They have the tone down very good. One of the things they don't have, though, is that, you know, there's a common conception about the Flash that, oh, he just runs really fast. And, like, they don't get, like, the Flash is legitimately one of the most powerful characters in the DC universe.
Absolutely.
Maybe even more powerful than Superman.
No.
I feel like they got it right here. Like, he has a glass of milk in his hand or a gallon of milk in his hand. He drops it. And takes care of whatever the heck else he's got to do in that store and comes back before the jug has actually dropped.
Yep.
Yes, that's how fast the Flash is. Huh. I felt like, okay, they finally figured out, like, yeah, he is incomprehensibly fast.
Yep, he's dope as shit.
So, yeah, no, so I felt like, okay, they got it. They doing it.
But, Doc, you're talking about a 17-second clip. Like, I'm not even
going to touch on. I completely agree with y'all on the fact that the way they introduce these characters, especially considering the hype that, oh, this person's going to be in it, that person's going to be in it, and it's like, bruh, all those people were in the movie for, like, 20 seconds. Like, why did you get me all hyped up over this crap, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. This is one of my other biggest issues with this. The trailers showed everything, and we knew the Justice League guys were going to cameo in it. So we saw the Batman fight, that cool Batman fight, ruined in the trailers. Doomsday, ruined in the trailers. Justice League, ruined by people casting. You know, everything was ruined
surprises. There are absolutely no surprises.
And that is, like, we've complained about this with horror films before, but I mean, this is a movie that everyone was going to go see regardless. It's Batman and Superman. My Marvel bias aside, Batman and Superman are the two most popular comic book characters by far. I mean,
there's an argument that Spider-Man is probably more popular, but
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I think that's with comic book.
I mean, I would say
I think Batman and Superman are the most recognizable outside of comic book folks.
Fair enough. Good point. Yeah. Popular culture. I agree. Batman, Superman, hard to beat.
Yo, that's why the expectations were off the charts with this shit. This should have been Jordan in the 90s, and it was not.
Well, I'm gonna compare it now to another movie that I thought actually was up to a good Jordan in the 90s is a good. I like that. Stealing that.
Shit's unbeatable, cause Jordan in the 90s.
Star Wars: The Force Awakens, to me, lived up to the hype.
Absolutely.
So yes.
This movie had to do that as well.
Here's why. They didn't reinvent the wheel. They gave you familiar story. They gave you all the shit that you know and like about the universe. They didn't give you too much in the trailer. There was still great shit that you got a chance to experience when you saw it. and you had shit to look forward to. Why the fuck did you tell me who fucking Doomsday was? Why'd you show me that?
Yeah.
Why'd you show me who Doomsday was? Why the fuck did you do it?
And why give me that and then ruin what Doomsday actually is?
Yep.
God damn it. I mean, like, normally people don't, you know, I actually liked Man of Steel, but I'm not a big Superman fan, so I think that's why I liked Man of Steel, because it was very different from the Superman that I've known. I'm not a big fan of his villains. I don't like Lex Luthor. I've never really been a big fan of his. Doomsday, to me, is a good physical presence villain to Superman. So to me, Doomsday is his best villain, his greatest villain, in my opinion.
And well, he's only his greatest villain because he's the only motherfucker that killed him. But to be fair, I mean, this dude has fought people like Brainiac.
Hey, some of his best comic book scenes, though, is what I was saying before. He beat the Justice League with an arm strap behind his back. He took Booster Gold and slammed his head repeatedly in a car door and then just threw him away like garbage. I mean, he whooped their ass before his arm was freed. Like, Doomsday is a force. He is just a wrecking ball.
Yeah, I mean, he blows everyone.
He's not Godzilla. He's not fucking Godzilla.
Right. He's just unstoppable. And it takes the Boy Scout to stop him. Here's the other thing. And this is something we talk about a lot. Superman's whole thing, and this is a through line through all of his comics, he is afraid to unleash his full power anywhere in the world because it may hurt somebody. Right?
Yes. Yep.
Doomsday was the time when he had to unleash his full power. All of that's lost here. You don't get any of that.
Yes. You know what? And it's funny, when I was watching the fight scene, I was waiting for the scene when he finally was like, okay, I can actually go hard on you. And that never happened. Mm. They placed Doomsday and Superman on the same level, but not in the way that I would have preferred. I think it would have worked with the film, because throughout the film they showed several, you know, there were several scenes where they're kind of like marveling at just how strong Superman is. You know, like, right, just how strong, just how fast, just how pointless any kind of opposition against him is. And they do that to justify, you know, Bruce Wayne's, Batman's response to Superman, to the threat. And I thought that was great. I thought that was thematically true, right, honest, and good. But then they don't ever actually let him prove it against Doomsday. Yeah, so it was a missed opportunity.
Like, you just see him getting fucking tossed and ragdolled.
Well, I'm not sure if that was a directorial choice or a writer choice, but I'm guessing it was someone who's not familiar with the comics, or not very familiar with the comics, because I'm sure that was about them trying to make sure that Superman is vulnerable. Like, the dish that Superman always gets is that, you know, you can't really root for him because he's invulnerable. He's never in any danger, so what's the point
of reading?
How it's going to work out, you know?
In this movie, you had to show that he was kind of vulnerable because he's fighting a human at one point. I mean, Batman, at the end of the day, a lot of people who didn't know anything about the comics that I had talked to about this movie had always asked the question, well, how the fuck is Batman going to fight Superman? You know, Superman's this strong alien who is the most powerful creature on the planet, and Batman is just a man. He's a man. And, you know, I know he shows restraint. I actually like that part of the character. I like that he does show constraint because he doesn't want to hurt anyone. They never even, you know, hinted at that in this. So it's confusing for a layperson who doesn't know anything about
it. They did. It was like one throwaway line, but that was it.
But I mean, that goes to the script and the directing. It's fucking lazy. I mean, it's them just throwing everything at you and expecting you to catch every single moment and just, yeah, that works. Oh, okay. Yeah, I accept that. Like, yeah, that's okay.
There's a lack of narrative cohesion in this film.
Yes.
From scene to scene. Yes. Plain and simple. Shit just doesn't match up. Like, from one scene to the next, the shit just doesn't match up. And it is a chore to get through. you know, to the point where I had to figure out, did I fall asleep? Because I have no clue where the fuck we are and what's going on right now.
I mean, I think this is what I think it was. Go ahead, Scott. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I don't think you're wrong. You go.
I was going to say, this is what I think it was. There were hella iconic scenes in this movie. There's a callback to Red Sun. There's a callback to the dream sequence.
Okay.
That's Red Sun.
Yeah.
And then there's a callback to the apocalypse, you know, the apocalypse fight, the dark side fight, which it's the same thing, the dream sequence. Yep. There's a callback to World's Finest. There's a callback to, you know, the original,
Trinity.
Batman, Superman, Public Enemies. There's a callback to that. There's a callback to the death of Superman.
Like, Dark Knight Returns.
Well, the Dark Knight Returns, that shit is almost verbatim.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, the Sonic gun. You know, I mean, literally.
Oh, it's all right there. It's all right there.
That shit is almost verbatim. Like page to page, that fight is, even to the point of shooting the arrow, having him catch it, and releasing the kryptonite in his face. Except it was Oliver, Green Arrow, who did it instead of, you know,
Green Lantern.
No.
It's Green Arrow.
It's Green Arrow. It's Oliver. He only had one arm at the time. But,
oh, that's right. No, you're right.
But Bruce did it in this joint instead of bringing in Oliver. But, I mean, this shit was verbatim. But we say all that to say, the fan service is great. The problem is, it would have been better if that shit had any type of payoff within the story. There's no payoff in the story. It's just a bunch of fucking scenes.
Yeah, well, it's disrespect to the material. Here's the thing. And the fans are
all
fans.
Set up for future stuff.
Well, honestly, yeah. Like, where are they going to go? I mean, the only thing that I felt was set up for future stuff was the connection that they forged between Bats and Supes. Okay, that's obviously there.
The intro of Justice League in an email.
Yep.
Right,
the single greatest line in the entire fucking film. I'm afraid of your sons. That. Yeah, I kind of got that with the cape.
Yeah.
Greatest line in the whole fucking film.
And then secondarily, it's like, well, you know, all those other scenes that Zack Snyder just felt like he had to fit in because they look super cute, they do nothing for the story.
Nope. His film's always looking good.
And everybody and their mama and their mama's third cousin has remarked that this movie's about 45 minutes too long. That's an exaggeration. But it's a solid 20 minutes.
No exaggerating about that at all.
30 minutes too long.
45? I can do without 45 minutes. That should be great.
Hey, the R-rated DVD one is going to be 30 minutes longer.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If there's a better story cohesion, I will sit 30 minutes longer to watch that.
You know what? I told Damon originally, I don't know that I could do it, but if the story does make better sense, I would give it a shot.
We're all going to give it a shot. It's not a question of it.
Yeah, we are. That's true.
We're all going to watch. We're all going to sit down, spend 3 hours watching this shit because we want it to be good. We want it to make sense. So we're going to give it another shot.
But my whole thing is this, though. So, you know, it's the director's cut. Do you have enough faith in Zack Snyder that his cut is going to be so much better?
No. It don't matter.
Not at this point.
No, but at least we get to see all the shit that they left on the cutting room floor. Hopefully,
I'm there for that reason.
The biggest thing is Lex was supposed to be the Riddler, or Jesse Eisenberg was supposed to be the Riddler.
Okay, so can we talk about? We haven't even talked about Lex Luthor yet.
Yes, yeah. We can talk about Lex.
I mean, that's
supposed to be Bryan.
That is not. Look, I. Well, hey,
Cranston turned that role down. That's how fucking Jesse Eisenberg got it.
God, I mean that Jesse Eisenberg. Look. I like him in movies that played his strengths.
Yeah, there's enough.
This movie is not one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Keep talking.
Spastic Earthquake is not Lex Luthor.
Well, I did not.
Lex is
I already
the smartest
said,
man on the planet.
Well, I did say that I didn't like Lex Luthor before, so I'm biased, and I already don't like the character. But this was not Lex Luthor. This was not the Lex Luthor I know.
He's supposed to be the smartest man on the planet.
And he's supposed to be intimidating to an extent. He's not intimidating.
Well, Lex is intimidating with his intellect.
He force-fed a dude a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah. Who said, cherry.
Okay, well, Look, this is one of those parts where they drop the narrative thread. You're absolutely right, Scott. This is not Lex Luthor. It's literally not Lex Luthor. This is Lex Luthor Jr. This is a story thread.
It's Alexander Luthor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the way that it goes is this. Lex Luthor has been trying to kill Superman for all these years. He keeps handling all this damn kryptonite. He ends up getting cancer that he can't fix. So what he ends up doing is he downloads his consciousness into one of his super smart computers and clones his body, a clean body. And he implants that consciousness into that body. That, and then he says, oh, this is my long lost son. When he dies, Lex Luthor Jr. takes over. But because of the imperfectness of the cloning process, he has some mental challenges. And so that quirky, weird, spastic affect, that's a part of this storyline. Now, all that being said, if you're, you know, an A-plus comic book nerd like me, you get exactly where the hell that's coming from. If you're Joe Schmo who walks off the street, you don't know what the fuck is going on there. It was poorly explained, and it could have been explained if they had taken out all those unnecessary fan service scenes out of the damn movie and actually, like, tried to build a damn narrative.
I don't even know if they're going to go as far as you did. All I'm going to say...
Well, no, yeah, they call him Lex Luthor Jr., and he refers to his father. So, no, it's in there.
I mean,
I'm not sure if they're going to talk about the cloning and all that other jazz, but...
I'm a comic book nerd, too, and I didn't jump through all those hoops that you did in order to get to that point.
Correct.
I mean, I understand that it's Lex Luthor Jr. Well, I get that it's Lex Luthor Jr., okay, but if they had explained it a little better, I might give them somewhat of a pass. They didn't explain shit. They just said Lex Luthor Jr. They didn't explain anything.
Well, yep.
They mentioned his father.
Exactly, and I think that's the problem. I think, again, I literally don't get why they were so obsessed with fan service in this instance. Like,
well, especially with a runtime of 2.5 hours, there's only so much you can do.
Well, here's my thing. I'm definitely Team Marvel. Make mine Marvel. But you have to do a little bit more legwork with Marvel characters.
They're not demigods. That's why.
Right, yeah. Batman and Superman have been around forever. TV shows, movies, etc. Man, the Schumacher Superman movies are iconic. The Michael Keaton Batman is iconic. Like, these are shows that are cultural bedrocks in America.
They were also the first times that we got close to the real character in popular culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You go back to the 60s and 50s when they first started doing Superman. They had, you know, kind of a buff dude. He was Americana Superman. He wasn't actually Superman in the comic books. He was a reflective of the ideal of what we wanted Superman to be. The Joel Schumacher ones with Christopher Reeve, they were also what we wanted Superman to be, but they also showed a little bit of the dark side, and they also showed what could go wrong. Dude had to battle Dark Superman. He had to battle himself. He had a beard, and, you know, he looked like he'd been drunk, but he had to do all that. You know, when Michael Keaton came out as Batman, nobody thought he would be able to go from Beetlejuice to Batman, but he did that shit, and it was fucking dope, right? Now we have access to every story that these characters have ever done. And you know what we're doing the entire time? Like, yeah, that shit ain't right. We're not even excited. Other than the suit, because the suit looked dope. The Batmobile I didn't like, but the suit looked dope.
The suit was dope.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, hey, my vision of Batman is still Tim Burton Batman. I mean, when I think of Batman, I think of Michael Keaton in that bat suit. That's ingrained in my brain. I will say this. This suit in Batman vs. Superman it approached that. I don't know that I like it better, but it's right there. I love this costume with that Batfleck wore. I mean, it was great.
I'm going to go on the record of this, and I've said this before, and I've gotten roasted for it. So listeners, come roast me if this is how you feel. But I feel like that this is the best actual film version Batman that I've ever seen. Like,
and you're not the only person who said that since this movie came out. Yeah. So, I, you know what? Because they did they actually nailed Batman correctly. Like I said, minus the blatant killing in that scene where he's just driving through trucks and just shooting guys out of the back of trucks. I mean, I can't talk too much shit to you about that. I mean, that's an opinion that is not a terrible opinion. So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they got the grit of Batman that, like, yo, this is a dude. You know, they actually have a great version, a great line of this in the Nolan films where they're like, you know, so you're just a dude who does a lot of push-ups, huh? You know, like, that's what Batman is. It's like, yeah, I'm here doing push-ups and squats and sit-ups and whatnot, and I'm just trying to be as good as I can be. But it's also like, I'm a fucking genius, and I'm a strategist. And you're like, you're not ever going to outthink me. I'm going to be a couple steps ahead of you. And when you catch up to those steps, you're going to find out I was a couple steps ahead of that already. Like, that's who he is.
Yeah.
And in the film, I feel like in this film, they actually show that. And I don't think I've ever seen that aspect, that master strategist, you know, that master strategist. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, he has plans on top of plans on top of plans.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, they call on that site, they always talk about the Prep Time Posse.
Prep Time Posse. ETV.
With Prep Time, he'll do anything, right? So when you look at it that way, you say to yourself, this is the motherfucker, this is who he is. He is the world's greatest strategist. So you give him enough time, he's going to beat you. This motherfucker had all the time in the world because you didn't even know it was coming.
Yep. And he had a plan. And you know what? The plan would have worked.
No. The plan worked. He won.
Yeah, Lois got in the way. You're right about that.
He won.
And I've heard people complain about the fact that he, like, freaked out the minute she said Martha because, Martha's
because that shit don't make any fucking sense. The fact that you're about to kill a god and you stop because you share your mother's same name, get the fuck out of here.
I don't know, though. Like,
nope.
I think we often forget that he's he's mentally unstable. You don't become a Batman.
He dresses up as a fucking bat, swings through the air, and beats people up. Yes, he's fucking mentally unstable.
Okay, so make it a logical jump in this instance.
No, he doesn't have a moment of clarity because you call out the name Martha. This motherfucker hasn't seen Martha since he was 12 years old. Get the fuck out of here. No, we're also living in a universe where there's no Joker, because the Joker's whole thing is even the best man on a bad day can do shit he's not supposed to do. Joker's not in this world, so guess what? He can go as far as he fucking wants.
They'll bring him into the world,
but he doesn't appear
to be in there now, which doesn't make sense because this appears to be Frank Miller's Batman, like the middle-aged Batman.
He's old. He's close to retirement.
Yeah, Joker should have been here by now.
Hold on. But Joker, I mean, did you see the Robin suit that hung up that looked like Joker had killed Robin?
Yeah, he had already killed him.
So Joker exists.
Yeah, Jason Todd is already dead.
Oh, I didn't see that. No, I missed that.
There's a suit that has Joker, the joke's on you, Batman, spray painted on Robin's suit hanging in the Batcave.
Oh, I did see that. Thank you.
You've seen it in the trailers. You might have missed it in the film. They don't give you an extended look in the film. They give you more of a look in the trailers.
You know what, then? Well, then I'm actually on board with the Batman killings, because there's a version of Batman who is exactly the same as we know him, but the moment when Joker kills Robin, he begins to kill. Like, he kills Joker, and he begins to kill because he realizes, like, this idea of keeping these people around doesn't work.
Talking not canon, though, right?
Something.
This is not canon.
It's like Earth 52 or some crap like that.
Okay, yeah, it's not
canon. It's not our original Earth.
I get it. Well, I'll tell you why the killing bothered me so much, and I'm tying Marvel into this. So Daredevil came out a week before this movie did.
Ooh.
The main theme of Daredevil has been Daredevil doesn't kill people, but Punisher does. That was explored in a Netflix show so much better than this. So to me, and it's unfair.
Look, let me stop you. I'm going to stop you, and here's why. They had 13 episodes to explore this shit. These motherfuckers had 2.5 hours.
I understand that, but again, Batman is one of the themes of Batman, one of the things that everyone knows about Batman, even as far back as, you know, the cartoon, the old TV shows, everything. He does not kill anybody. That's his moral code. He has Joker, who murders people left and right, and he still shows restraint. That is one of the things about Batman that makes him heroic. That is one of the things that drives him. It's one of the things that keeps him going. It when you show him murdering people, regardless of how evil they are, yeah. regardless of someone killing Robin, you're yeah. taking away from that character's motivation.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's just Punisher. Now, Punisher's yeah. cool, but Punisher is not Batman.
Right. Punisher's not as iconic. Because Punisher has no restraint. He's iconic because every other superhero has restraint.
Right. Well, but Punisher's not really a hero. He's an anti-hero.
That's true.
There's a difference.
But he's only an anti-hero because all the other heroes refuse to kill.
Well, I mean, he's also an asshole. I mean, if you read the books, yeah, he's kind of a dick. I don't want to have a beer with
because
Punisher.
He's a dick because nobody else is willing to do what he's willing to do. He enables you to fucking step away from how crucial something is because he can do it. You can turn your head and know that Frank's going to take care of it.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I like that.
Yep. But Batman shouldn't be that way. Batman is a hero.
He is a hero. He wants to be a hero. Every time that somebody dies, Batman feels like he failed.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's like, yeah, fuck, let me kill this dude. Let me hit this motherfucker with a gigantic fucking shipping crate. Attached to a
Batcoat. The dude he shot out of the back of the Jeep and the yeah. Jeep just exploded.
Yes.
I mean, it was just like, whoa.
Your motherfucker's wow, getting killed with abandoned. This is...
Ooh.
Else is being taken out here. And it's all good. Shout out to that life insurance because these motherfuckers is not coming home, B.
No. No. Nobody's coming home. It's going to be a lonely summer.
Yo, I'm telling you, I'm hoping you got your insurance good, because otherwise it's a wrap. It's a wrap. And I'm okay with that. But, again, we say all that shit to say, this shit ain't the characters. These are not the icons. It's different if you're dealing with other shit, but you can't just sit here with icons and kind of make it up as you go. Like, in The Dark Knight Returns, right? In The Dark Knight Strikes Back, when he does eventually kill a Joker.
Yep.
Right. He still isn't killing everybody else. He's just recognizing that he should have killed the Joker to stop him from hurting so many other people, and all of those other deaths are on his head.
Right.
But
it took a great amount of him to actually even kill Joker at that point.
Correct. Yep. It took a piece of him went with the Joker. So the fact that we're just indiscriminately killing motherfuckers, nah, B. But okay, you wanted to get to that point where you can show that shit. I get it. You wanted to get to that point where you can just show Batman going hard. I understand it. You wanted Batman to be gritty. I'm sure Batfleck wanted to be gritty because he got tired of not being able to do that shit. And people get tired of restraint, especially when you have a character who's super cool, has literally every gadget. Every gadget. And his fucking Batcave looked like, yo, multi-layered, like the dopest silent library of all time.
Well, that was TBAS Batcave, you know.
Yeah, it was.
Batman
yes, it
Energy
was.
Series. That was that Batcave.
Yep.
Which I dig because, like, my Batman is Kevin Conroy. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying that.
Whenever you see something with Batman, when you hear it, it's in the voice of Kevin Conroy. I give you that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like that's my Batman. So I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and since we're talking about stuff like the, you know, assets of Batman, hell, I thought Jeremy Irons did a pretty good job as
not pretty
Alfred.
Good. He was dope. He was probably the single most consistent character in the entire fucking film.
I will say this though, I miss Michael Caine.
Yeah. Like,
well, that's because
Michael Caine
is awesome.
Sounds like Alfred more than Jeremy Irons does.
But Jeremy Irons is probably actually more so who Alfred is. If you know
he's the medic.
Well,
he's the,
right.
You know,
that's
he's
because
talking in the ear.
They fucked
like,
Alfred up in Dark Knight Rises, though. So
yeah,
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. You know, Jeremy Irons' character is the character, but I guess I'm just like, it's the sound, like.
Right. Oh, no. I'm with you there. I'm with you there.
Because that sounds like him.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm with you there. The first thing, somebody had asked me, another friend of mine, and who, by the way, just saw the movie today, and I was telling Tony this before we were taping. I asked him, I said, hey man, did you finally get a chance to catch this movie? And he said, yeah, you know, besides a few minor flaws, I fucking loved it. Now, when he asked me, I told him I saw it on Thursday, and he goes, well, how was it? And I go, two things came right to the forefront of my mind. It was average at best.
Yeah.
That's at its best, it was average and extremely disappointing. And those two phrases being associated with what really amounted to what should have been the biggest superhero movie of all time, even in a year where Civil War is coming out, that should not be the case at all.
Civil War is going to kill this.
Well, I mean, isn't it kind of sad that, like, we have, even before we saw a single trailer, we, and I say we as in, like, the collective we, the human fucking race, have been saying Civil War is going to murder Batman versus Superman. And we were right. Like, they knew the hill they had to climb, and they still didn't bring enough firepower to get up over this hill. It's like, y'all had one job. You had one job.
Yep.
And you still couldn't do it.
Right.
Like, that's why, and this is why I rail so hard against the Wonder Woman casting, because it's indicative of the attitude that they took towards this film. It's like, yo, Marvel has been kicking your ass up and down the block for 3 years. Like, they done took your lunch money.
Shit,
jacket.
They've been doing it since
the first Iron Man.
Yeah, I mean, they just been bullying y'all up the block. And so you get this opportunity. Everybody's excited for it. You get this one knockout punch to go. And you still can't keep your wrist straight.
Yeah.
You still limp wrist this shit. Like, you still miss. You still whiff. You knew you had to get this right. And so, like I said, the minute they cast some little wispy middle school girl chick to play Wonder Woman, I'm like, all right, I see where y'all going. Like, I'm out.
I mean, the whole thing is this. You're in a situation where you literally need to establish a world. And you're, instead of trying to build a world, you're just establishing a world where there are metahumans. That's it. And you're going to try and fill it in later. It doesn't work like that. Marvel painstakingly created a world in which for all of their characters to coexist and for you to care about every single one of them. So when Cap bites the bullet in Civil War, you are going to give a shit. Nobody gave a shit if Superman died. Don't give a shit. And this movie had an entire hole in his chest.
Because you knew it wasn't going to stick because Justice League is coming out next year.
Right, because fucking the soil started moving. So get to
fucking Jesus. Like, look, I would have given him props for having balls enough to kill Superman and just end it. Because I'll be honest, a Justice League movie that started with no Superman kind of sounds intriguing to me.
Not happening, dog.
No, it's not.
I think that is how they're going to start it. I think that was a teaser for us.
Nah, dog.
So it moves. That's a teaser.
Did you, like, didn't you see? Like, the dirt moved. He's already back.
I think that was our teaser. I think they're going to start the Justice League movie without him, and then he's going to come back to life and swoop in at the, middle of the film. When
Darkseid comes in?
Middle of the film.
Because Lex said everything other than Darkseid.
He
said dark. He said creature from world. Like he said everything except Darkseid.
Yeah, but for the public, I don't think they're gonna catch that. I think they're just gonna, that's just foreshadowing. For us, we know they're talking about Darkseid because we not only have we seen this movie in cartoon form before, but we've read the books. And can we just talk about how much better at this shit the comic, the cartoons are than the guys who are doing the movies? Like, why can't you just get the dudes who are directing the damn cartoons?
The DC animated.
Direct the damn
Bruce Tim. Hey, get Bruce Tim to do it. Get Bruce Timm to book.
Yeah, DC Animated is a beast.
Yeah, it, DC Animated kills Marvel Animated.
Oh, they do DC Animated, man. Fuck it. DC Animated is on the same level as Marvel.
Yeah,
real
I,
action.
I give you that. I give you that.
Like,
I, okay, I don't know if I go that far, but it is very good. It
no, no, in terms of good. Like being better than the opposition. The DC Animated is better than Marvel Animated in a way that the Marvel...
Okay. Yes, I agree. Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yep, I do.
Yeah.
Understood.
But real quick, let's wrap this shit up, man. We can talk about this shit for an hour. So yeah, we need to fucking come up
with two questions to wrap it up. Will this hit $1 billion worldwide?
Yes.
Nah. I thought it would have, but after that Friday to Sunday drop-off...
They got to half a bill this weekend, dude. It'll limp there over the rest of the course of its life. Or it may show up at like 9:23.
Still counts.
All right. I mean, if we're not rounding, sure. Then it may not make it there. But that's it. There's not going to be any repeated
purchases. $70 million is a hell of a round. Can you round my income up by $70 million?
It's not a hell of an income when the number you're looking at is a billion.
Well, the reason I bring that up is
with all that logic, man.
Apparently, Warner needs it to be a billion in order for it to be a quote unquote
financial success. Yes, correct.
Right. So
they spent $240 on marketing on this shit.
Oh, I mean the budget with marketing is apparently the most expensive movie ever made. I mean, apparently it's like almost a half bill just to make the movie.
Yeah, yeah. So the movie took $200 million to make, and then the
marketing. $250 million.
All right, so the movie took $250 million to make, and it's $240 million marketing budget. So we're at $490 million off top.
Yep.
Yeah.
Could have saved a little bit of money if they had trimmed about 30 minutes from the film, but you know that's just me.
Also, if they had just so I was talking to Scott about this earlier. I rewatched Deadpool, and here's the thing about Deadpool that made it work. Deadpool was good because this shit was short and small. Like everything took place in a really small universe. Like they had seven sets in the whole fucking film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Well, and their tie to the greater X-Men universe was limited to two characters.
Yep.
And that's it.
And guess what? It is the single greatest R-rated superhero flick of all time.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. I was just thinking about the only other movie that comes to mind to me is Blade 2. I really, really love that movie.
Yeah. Blade 2's great, but guess what? Deadpool's probably better.
You're right. Yep, you're right.
None of us like to hear that just because we've all held Blade 2 in such a high regard for so long. But we
I'm real mad at you right now. Real mad. I'm very, very angry right now.
But you are going to agree. So we going to
get it. Yeah, this is like, you know, this is intellectual rape right now. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. But I'm not happy.
If it don't fit, force it. So,
all right, gentlemen, that means we're two ratings.
Yeah, we're at the ratings now. Scott and I have also talked about this, so I don't know.
Wait, so just before we get to the ratings, I just have a quick question.
Okay.
Who's your Batman and who's your Superman?
You mean if like all time, you mean like include every incarnation?
Yeah, that's actually versions a really that you have seen, question. Yes.
That's actually a really good question.
Michael Keaton is my Batman. I think the best Batman on screen to this day is Michael Keaton. Now, I don't think
he's the best choice.
I don't think that he's the best Bruce Wayne, but I do think he's the best Batman.
I'm not mad at that. That's a good answer.
The look and feel of those movies was just very gothic, and Batman was just. I mean, it also, I watched it in the formative years when I was really becoming a nerd.
And so. Billy Dee was in it, so.
Hey, full circle, 360.
There it is, cuz. I did that now, for you.
I appreciate it.
I'm also going to say this. I don't know that I have a definitive Superman only because I didn't watch Superman. The Christopher Reeve Superman until much, much later.
Nah, I watched him when it came out. Richard Pryor was in them shits. So our household was watching.
That's like the first Superman's what, 78, right?
Yeah.
78.
I mean, that show was required viewing, homie.
Well, that was one of the movies that I just didn't get around to seeing until much
Margot later. Kidder as Lois Lane is terrible.
Oh.
Because Margot Kidder's not that cute. But understand,
that was the most charitable way you could have said that.
Yeah, I agree. So here it is. Check it out. But Christopher Reeve loved her so much, this motherfucker flew backwards to turn time around to make sure that Lois Lane lived. Let that shit
sink. Not how time works, but okay.
So my Superman is, who voiced Superman in the animated series? That's the Superman I think of. I think of Superman. That's animated Superman.
That's Tim Daly.
That's a good one. That's Tim Daly?
Yeah, it's Tim Daly.
Yeah.
That doesn't look anything like Superman, but...
No, but that's who, when I think of Superman, I think of the animated Superman, the animated series, and Justice League Unlimited. That is the Superman to me. So I'm kicking animated
Superman. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, Tim Daly and Kevin Conroy are like who you imagine when you talk about these characters in my book.
Most people would say Kevin Conroy, honestly, for Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still to this day, even when he announces I'm never doing another Batman movie or video game, he always comes back every single time he does.
Yeah, that's because they drive a Brink truck full of money to his house and because they need you.
Fucking, that's right. Because
every time they do something different, people are like, that's not Batman.
Although, to be fair, in the Dark Knight Returns animated films that they did, Peter Weller was the voice of Batman because it's a lot older, and that was really good.
Can't imagine
Peter Weller, RoboCop,
Batman, like that. It doesn't.
No. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it was good. That's all.
No. I'm just saying, like, I can't even imagine that. So I might have to check that out.
No, Dark Knight Returns parts 1 and 2 are actually really good.
They're dope. If you have DC, Comcast, it's all there for you.
Yeah, dude. Hey, animated DC Dark Knight Returns.
I did just see that on my on-demand. I'm gonna check
it's
that
good.
Out.
Good. Yeah.
Day?
So, all right, who are your guys, Batman, Superman?
Come on, Day.
All right, so I got a hodgepodge because I love Morgan Freeman's character in Batman World. I think he's great, but there's a consciousness to him that is probably played by Alfred if we're going to, if we're going to do it right. So the voice of Conroy, the suit of Batflick, the demeanor of Keaton. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna go with.
Hi.
Okay.
Superman.
What about Superman?
I don't like the character enough to have anybody. So Tim Daly.
Yeah, but you don't have a choice. You gotta pick one.
Tim Daly. That's why I picked Tim Daly.
Yeah, Tim Daly. I've never liked the character. I've never found him like the best Superman story of all time to me is Red Son.
Yeah. Oh. Jesus, yes.
So.
Okay. Hey, you know what? I can't be mad at that. My favorite one of all time is Death of Superman, which is why I'm so fucking pissed at Doomsday.
Yeah, they messed up.
Death of Superman is a very straightforward story to me. You fight till you.
It is, but
you have to unleash all your power, or else the world dies. I get it.
Yep.
Nah.
Yeah, it ain't hard to tell. No, Nas had it right.
The fact that, like, why the fuck didn't Lois Wonder Woman? Because clearly she could hold her own. We killed Superman just for the fact of killing Superman. That's just fucking stupid. No.
Yep.
No. Do better. Do fucking better.
That actually, man, that would have been a so, wow. That would have so much better have been, wow. I'm blown away. Like Wonder Woman's, like, spirit being a possessive force and having it, oh man, that would have been awesome.
Dog.
It's not canonical at all, but that would have been dope.
Didn't need to be canonical. Because it's very simple. She's not allergic to kryptonite. She can hold the spear in a way where she can kill him, get back, not get stuck with the shard hand, stab him again, hit him with the sword, cut off his hand again, and keep going until it's a wrap. Instead, we sitting up here watching this motherfucker get his chest opened up and then fucking fall out like a hand of clay, just let him go. Get the fuck out of here. No, no, no. Anyway, did we do everything? And did we do...
Tony's Batman Superman.
All right.
Wow, man, look. Damon just, you know, he just changed the rules. So, I mean,
yes,
damn.
I did. It's my podcast. Fuck.
Shoot. My- So, I mean, if I can... Yo, man, like the voice definitely Kevin Conroy. I mean, you can't argue against that. But everything else, Batfleck is my Batman. If we're talking about soups, give me Tim Daly's voice and Brandon Routh in a not shitty movie.
Ooh, there you go. Okay, didn't expect that.
Interesting.
Now I need you to pick up Batmobile.
Yo, Brandon Routh is Superman. He just had a crappy script.
That's true.
That dude is Superman.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, Henry Cavill is not a terrible Superman, though.
No, he ain't bad. But, I mean, look, if you stand up Brandon Routh next to Henry Cavill in both of their, you know, best physical states, I ain't putting my money on Henry Cavill.
I don't know. That dude's fucking big.
He's buff. He ain't big. I think he's like 6 foot even. Probably 5'11". Say what now?
I think he's like 5'11".
That's what I'm saying. He's 5'11". Brandon Routh is a solid 6'3", and he's a big dude too.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Put them dudes next to each other in a fight. I'm putting my
Affleck's what, 6'2"?
Affleck's big. Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's 6'3". Yeah, so because they always talked about, you know, having a Batman and Superman had to look up to, literally.
I don't think they ever really showed that, though. I think they had them on equal footing. I mean, it might have been Hollywood magic. It might have just been padded boots, but I think they was always on equal footing.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, again, imagine Brandon Routh.
I think there was a time during the banquet when they first met, when Lex does that stupid, don't pick a fight with this guy, that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fucking ridiculous and annoying. God damn, this movie's annoying to me.
Speaking of that, what do you rate it?
So you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
Average is 5. Middle of the road is 5, right?
That's how I vote. I think middle of the road to me is right in the middle of a rating system. So if we're going on a 5-point or 5-stars rating, a 3 to me is average. If we're doing A to F, a C is average. If we're doing 1 to 10, 5 is average. Yeah, 1 to 10, that's my point. So if 5 to me is average on a 1 to 10 scale because it's right in the middle. That's my opinion. That's where I come from with rating things. So...
So since having this discussion and recalibrating, I give it a 6. I can see why people like it because they're just happy to see these two characters on screen. But I completely think that every criticism is valid. I have not heard a single criticism that I'm like, that's not true.
That's fair.
I like that. Yeah. Scott?
Well, because of that, and I said earlier that it's average at best, to me this movie, as disappointing as it was, average at best, I'm going with a 4.5. It's average at its best. I'm giving those points to 95% of Batman. The most excited I was during this movie was when I saw Wonder Woman, which I was surprised that I was even psyched to even see her,
Wonder
doing
Woman
battle.
Was kicking motherfuckers' ass. She's flying through the air wielding a sword and a shield,
she just had that attitude, too, like, on her face while she was fighting, smiling about it.
She's the only motherfucker that's not scared.
Right, right. And I was surprised that I was enjoying it as much as I did because I was not a fan of the casting of her either. Now, after Tony explained it very well earlier, I agree completely with him, but I liked Wonder Woman in this movie. And the other part that we didn't even bring up, the another part that I really enjoyed was that explosion at the Capitol building or Supreme Court.
Yeah, when blew up everybody because they wouldn't let Lex play.
Yeah, that was surprising as hell to me.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that scene. So,
but
that
is part of a narrative of a film that is far better than the one that was delivered.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is why it's average at best. 4.5 is all I can say, and I'm comfortable giving it that score.
I'm not going to fight you on it. That's it. Yeah. I understand all the criticism. Yep. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm going to have to follow Damon's suit and just change the rules right here. So, like, I'm going to bifurcate my score between popcorn level and critic level. So, like, did I enjoy it? I did enjoy it. So I'm going to give it a 7 on my popcorn level. You know what I'm saying? On my, like, critical level, yo, it's average at best. But I have to philosophically deduct a half a point for a crotch shot on Wonder Woman. Yo, we don't do crotch shots on superheroes. You get an automatic deduction of a half point. Done. Over. I'm going to deduct another half point for Wonder Woman's padded bra. Gal Gadot is flat-chested. And when they show Diana in the dress, she's flat-chested. But all of a sudden, when you show Wonder Woman, she got D's. Wonder how that happened. Nah, nigga, like, no. Half point deduction. So you get a 4 on my critical scale. You get a 7 on my popcorn scale. And let's call it a push and a 5.
So let me go back to why. It's 5.5, actually. But so let me go back.
No. It's 5. I've made that intentional.
It's not a push. And it's not a push. You landed on a 5. But so let's go back to why the changing of the shape of Wonder Woman matters. So in the beginning, they told us that Wonder Woman didn't have to be sexualized. She didn't have to be X, Y, and Z. And then why would you do a padded bra?
Exactly. Like, the whole point of this, they said, okay, Gal Gadot doesn't exactly look like Wonder Woman, but it doesn't matter because it's not about her. It's not about her size or her shape. And to be honest, they shit on a lot of fanboys and they said, oh, you're only worried about, you know, the titties because Wonder Woman is historically rather busty. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And so they gave us that excuse. And so they casted this twig skinny chick with a thigh gap. Another thing, my Wonder Woman does not have a thigh gap, but we're going to move on.
Linda Carter. Look,
you don't even, you know, let me just move on.
I never even watched that, but she is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And she's still fine. It's absurd.
She's 112.
Linda Carter is 356 years old, and she is still fine.
Yeah.
It's not fair. But anyway, we're going to move on. Let me just take a breath. Okay. I'm ready to go. So, the point being is that if you're going to shit on the fanboys about this idea that really what we're really upset about is the fact that Wonder Woman isn't as feminine looking as we would like her to be, and then pad her bra while she's Wonder Woman, you're full of shit.
Or like, give her completely a crotch full shot of shit. In the midst of a fucking fight scene.
Absolutely, a crotch shot.
In the midst
if
of a fight scene.
Falls down, do we get a crotch shot?
Do we get a bulge?
Yeah, if Batman falls down, do we get a bulge?
Get a bat bulge.
No, there's no bat bulge. There's no super bulge. Why is there a wonder? I don't know if I could call it a bulge.
Wonder gam. It's a wonder gam.
Wonder gam. Yeah, why is there a wonder moose knuckle? A wonder knuckle. Oh. Why is there a wonder knuckle?
Wow. Holy shit, that Brown got you. That Billy D in control. You're not driving nowhere tonight,
knuckle.
Right?
You can't. Look, I could put a hashtag up right now. You can't tell me Wonder Knuckle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're not driving nowhere tonight, right? Great. That's how I feel anyway.